I've been looking forward to holding this space for David. I think it's pretty amazing what he's created. As Kanchan, as you had mentioned earlier, David Levins, he's the founder of A Kind Voice, a volunteer-run phone line where people can call in any time for a one-on-one conversation on topics that they care about, whether it's, a book or a movie or gardening. He grew up in the great state of New York and moved down to Georgia for work, where he lives currently. In 2011, he started a community garden. And after seeing so many residents, in his community come together to share the fruits of their labor, he had an important realization that led to A Kind Voice. He realized that building community was the most important result of the garden, and that the flowers and fruits that, also came from the community coming together and working together, it was just a byproduct of putting in the right effort. So these sorts of this realization and a series of inquiries and his reflections on stories written by authors such as Thoreau and Steinbeck, which he'll get into later, is really what led him to initiate both A Kind Voice and even more recently, Kind Voice Radio. And so both of those are, accessible to anyone. And A Kind Voice recently was featured on Oprah.com as a beautiful volunteer opportunity and, a fun and easy way to give and to also receive. And so, David, we're looking forward to learning more. And so I wanted to start off the conversation with just creating a little bit of context. And so if you could share a bit about your own background, particularly growing up in New York, the family and community that you grew up in, and did you grow up in a community with strong relationships or not? And so what was your upbringing like?
Sure. I grew up and a lot of my folks, a lot of the way I connected with people was playing sports and talking about sports. It was just natural. I was a very quiet person in other areas, but sports I totally got. And as I was growing up, I would feel a little bit isolated at times, and I was never one to want to share my personal issues or what's making me feel a little bit sad. But I would have a good conversation about sports, and whenever I did, it put me in a better place to deal with whatever that personal situation was that was upsetting me a little bit. I felt connected with somebody, and that's always stayed with me as I've grown up.
David, can I interrupt you for a? I think we
Sure.
can't hear you that clearly. Could you increase the volume or move closer to the speaker because your voice is very soft?
Sure. I'll try to speak up a little bit more.
Yeah, this is great. This
Is
is
that
great.
better? Okay.
Yeah,
Okay.
perfect.
Did you want me to repeat what I just said? Was
No, that's fine. I got that.
okay.
It'll be good because we're recording it, and so it's just good to have it. Yeah,
Okay,
thank
I'll
you.
speak real loud.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, yeah, that's really interesting. And you also, I believe you're an avid reader, influenced by writers such as Thoreau and Steinbeck and others. And so in what ways did these authors inspire your understanding of human nature and how we relate to one another, especially growing up, as you described, feeling isolated at times? If you could
Yeah,
share.
and with books, you're reading it and you're enjoying this brilliant thinking by these brilliant people, but it's almost like having a conversation with them. Because from the books, I write my own essays. So I take a situation that Steinbeck wrote about and apply it to my life and just turn around the situation from the book into a situation that's actually happening to me. Steinbeck kind of calls these true things, true stories, in that they don't a true story doesn't actually have had to happen. but it's something that could be relived in many different shapes and sizes and generate other stories. So I think a kind voice is a child of a lot of the reading I've done. And these authors who I really admire, they search for truth, and it's all a journey. And a kind voice is very much a journey to get from one place to the next. We want to make the world a kinder, more connected place, one conversation at a time. So each time we have a good conversation, we win and we kind of fulfill our mission.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I want to learn more about kind voice, but I'm also really intrigued by the stories that, you know, you read in these books and feeling like you're also living similar stories, you know, in your own life. Can you give a couple of examples? I know that you also have written about the Grapes of Wrath and, you know, other books that have influenced you on your blog online. So are there
A powerful story is from Travels with Charlie, one of John Steinbeck's last novels. He traveled across America because he wanted to see it again. He thought he was writing from memory, and that's no good. He had to meet the people and see the situations. So he was sick and dying at the time, but he made the journey anyway. And he ended up in going across from Maine, across to the west, but he ended up in New Orleans, where they were having those ugly demonstrations against Ruby Bridges attending an all-white school. This was 1960 America. And he got it. He got that there's haters out there and people don't understand. People hate the things they don't understand and they fear. But then he asked in this crowd, in this demonstration he was in, where were the others? Where were the good people he knew in New Orleans? How come they weren't speaking up?
Mm-hmm.
And he kind of concluded he didn't know where they were. Perhaps they felt as helpless as he did in that situation.
Mm-hmm.
But what happened was broadcast all over the world and left New Orleans misrepresented by the other things he knew were there.
Mm-hmm.
And then he went back to his home and he wrote about those other things and the people. And I think his voice helped those other things he knew were there materialize. So they weren't there in that moment, but that was unacceptable to him. And that kind of inspired a kind voice, because I know there's many, many kind people out there who want to share their kind energy. And then there's many people who aren't depressed who just want to have a conversation with somebody who could use a kind voice. So by connecting the two, it's trying to make something very positive materialize.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So how does the kind voice actually work? You know, can you walk us through the design of it, and how is it designed also to encourage openness and connection between the caller and the volunteer? And I know that you have different topics, you know, that callers can choose to just talk about with the volunteer. But yeah, can you talk
a
little bit?
Sure. So the basic logistics about how it works is a caller. First, we recruit volunteers and we ask, what are you passionate about talking about? What do you enjoy talking about? And so we have topics on books, movies, sports, music, travel, big ideas in philosophy. And we get volunteers who are interested in talking about them. And these people send in the most beautiful applications you can imagine. They're just very beautiful people inside, and they want to share this kindness. And we've got maybe 300 applications total, and it's just a wonderful thing. So then the caller, when they call the line, the first option they get is, are you experiencing any crises? And if they are, the call gets mapped to, like, the suicide hotline, the abuse hotline, one of the hotlines. It gets mapped there directly. And about half our calls, people here are advertisement for a kind voice, but when they call in, they really are experiencing a crisis and for whatever reason didn't want to call a crisis hotline. Maybe they didn't know the number, but they select the crisis option, which is great because we're getting those people to where they need to be. But if they select a kind voice, first we make it very clear to them that we're not professional counselors, we're just kind voices. And we don't provide advice or guidance, but we listen, and we're active listeners.
Mm-hmm.
And the call gets mapped. So if someone volunteers to talk about books, and
mm-hmm.
we get a call about books during the time they volunteer, that call gets mapped to everybody's house, and it rings right in the living room. And they pick the first one to pick it up takes the call, and they have a conversation on books.
Wow. That's pretty awesome. So that leads me to a couple of other questions. You talked about the volunteer applications that you've received and how they've been, you know, really wonderful to read. And I sort of have a feeling that maybe volunteers come from all walks of life to a kind voice. And can you share a couple of stories about some of your volunteers? What brought them to a kind voice?
We have journalists and teachers. We have a Marine chaplain, a stand-up comedian, not as funny as she thinks she is, but she's nonetheless a comedian, and filmmakers, all kinds of people. And one of them, a journalist, and she just said it so eloquently that I just want to read exactly what she said. I enjoy reading books and would enjoy hearing others' ideas on books. Reading is an important part of our everyday lives and is a constructive activity. Not only do we enjoy books for pleasure, but they help us add to our knowledge and understanding and can improve our confidence, memory, and abilities. When we discuss books, it helps confirm our understanding and by extension our self-worth. Often, our personal reading, whether it's done for pleasure or to learn something new, is done in a vacuum and can lead to isolation. I'm interested in getting people to discuss their books so that they can avoid the loneliness of absorbing new ideas without an outlet to share them. I would like to help others communicate their ideas about books they are reading in order to give them an outlet for self-expression, greater confidence, and a sense of value. So just providing that outlet for someone to share what they saw, what they read, what they experienced, and give them the gift of somebody listening to them and engaging in conversation with them is something that our kind voice volunteers offer, and they also receive, because the person is usually so grateful that they're giving them a gift, and the giver is also the receiver.
Wow, I'm thinking I'm curious to know if people call in from all over the country and what sorts of context do they call in from, or is it mostly people that don't have a strong family or community connections? And what a wonderful gift a kind voice can be for contexts such as prisoners, for example, that might be able to call in and discuss with someone the books that they're reading so that their ideas are not, you know, within their own heads in isolation, as you described. And so do you know a little, when callers come in, do you know their context?
I've probably taken more calls than anybody, and I focus on being an interviewer, finding out what they'd like to share. So often people don't share their personal backgrounds or where they're from or what occupation they're in, and I don't ask that because I want to respect people's confidentiality. They're reaching out to a total stranger they don't know from Adam, and you have to earn their trust. Sometimes people call in about music, and you have a good conversation about the song, but the song reminds them of the girlfriend they broke up with a few months ago, and that's what they want to talk about. But you have to earn their trust by engaging and being interested in what they have to share.
Okay. Wow. Can you elaborate on that? Because I know you also sort of made a comparison between these conversations, creating these human connections, and the design of games, such as Scrabble.
Yeah, yes. So you know how Scrabble, there's a pattern on the board, there's words on the board, and you have to connect the tiles in your on your tray with the pattern on the board. So I view the tray, each player's tray with their letters on it, as their personal space. And the pattern on the Scrabble board has any kind of pattern. It could be a business pattern, a social pattern. And people try to connect their energy and thoughts with that pattern to join conversations. So on our Scrabble board, we put these big topics like movies. And tell us about a movie you love. And they have these movies in their personal space, and they connect it with the pattern on the Scrabble board. And it's not just a static connection, because it's a dynamic conversation. And the conversation could go in directions the caller didn't anticipate, because we don't just say, yes, that's nice, thank you for sharing, have a nice day. The real conversations. And so it's kind of like a living Scrabble board. When they connect with this pattern we put out there, both the caller and listener are dynamic people, and the conversation grows.
So when you recruit volunteers or people express interest and, you know, submit their applications, is there a training process? Because you have to be a pretty good, deep listener to continue an engaging conversation on these different topics. And so what is there training, and what does the training involve?
Absolutely. Now, the first part of the training is I have a conversation with them, and they got to be fluent in conversation. They want to make an effort to connect with me or a volunteer coordinator first. But then we ask them to make a call to the line. So call in as if they were a caller, make up a topic of something they want to discuss, and experience how the volunteer handles it, how they end the call, and experience what it's like to be in a caller's shoes. So they'll be handling the calls. And then if that goes well and they call me back, then we have a call strategy document that I go through with people. And the most important part of that call strategy is to let them know, hi, you've reached a kind voice. This is David speaking. And we all say it in different ways. And these people have such beautiful and kind voices and kindness in the heart that you got to let that person know they've reached a kind voice, and you open up a door, and usually they just walk right through that door and connect with them. But other aspects of it are we want the caller to drive. They may tell us something that reminds us of a story we had, and by sharing the story we have, we pull the rug out from under them. So we want them to be the driver. It's their call, and we got to be an engaged listener, sharing and chiming in, and almost like a radio interviewer, getting them to share the story that they want to share.
Yeah, so I feel like you're touching on this play between giving and receiving, and that, you know, at first it seems that the volunteers are the givers and the callers are the receivers, but as you're describing this, it's actually a very dynamic process, and in the process of deep listening, the volunteers are learning, you know, more about themselves and maybe being inspired to share their own stories, which inspires the callers to trust the volunteers and, you know, really and maybe start sharing personal stories about their lives. So can you kind of describe more this alchemy of kindness and the giving and receiving that happens?
Sure. Now our volunteers, we also encourage them to call the line. So their role on the call when they receive one is not really to share their own stories, but allow them to call the line and share stories with each other. So it's kind of like an alchemy, like, because I don't think there's one group of people out there who are kind voices and another group who need a kind voice. And any given day, any of us could fall in either group. So a lot of our volunteers share. And the alchemy of kindness is like with gold, common metals were melted down to make something very precious. With the alchemy of kindness, you have kind intentions and a need for a kind voice, and they kind of merge together to make something that I think is better than gold. It's a kind of alchemy. And the cool thing about it is that I said things in language that I think is a little bit clunky, but then these brilliant musicians came along and wrote songs for us that say it musically. And I didn't think of it in the terms they stated it, but when I heard them, I said, yeah, that's exactly what I meant. So music is a whole different language and a whole different way of connecting with people, but it's also part of the alchemy. You have this very positive seed, and these musicians want to contribute to it. So the one line from the musician is, I can be a kind voice for you one day, and maybe you'll be a kind voice for me. And he just puts beautiful music around that, and it very much flows. Another musician wrote a song. She's a folk singer in New Orleans, Jackie Sander. It's called A New Kind of Stranger, and it's about how people who make the calls and the volunteers are strangers in the beginning, but they go on this journey together, and it's kind of like being a new kind of stranger and how it turns into almost being a friend.
Wow, that's really beautiful. I think I'm going to be the next caller on the kind of voice.
After me.
I'm looking forward to it. I also read some really touching stories on your website of volunteers that have come, to a kind voice, particularly the volunteer who, had lost her husband. And I was hoping that you could share that story with this community. It really speaks to the ripples of kindness and, the human connection.
Sure. Her name's Ruth, and she's a rock. Every time there's a call, she picks it up and during her hours, and she also calls the program and is very enthusiastic, helping to find new ways to connect. And the cool thing is she came from an article on Oprah Winfrey's site. So Oprah's such a good person, and she generated this site that sends out these newsletters, and they make a connection to other people. There's no way I would have connected with this lady. And this lady just loves helping people, and she's in a wheelchair, and she's alone, and she's finding the joy where other people who are in a bad situation may just go into a hole and say how horrible life is. I think as someone who loves sports, the game is always finding a way to do something well, to score that next point, or to win. And winning has all kinds of forms and shapes and sizes. And a kind voice tries to give a way for everyone who wants to reach out. In one of our songs, The Alchemy of Kindness by Bruce Grammel, he says, if you're reaching out, we're reaching too. And he just puts it to beautiful music. And so anyone who wants to reach out, we're trying to provide this platform for them to connect and share the best of themselves, the kindness in the heart. And Ruth just jumped all over this, and I'm so pleased about it.
Do you think in the future you might be able, and maybe you already do this, have volunteers that speak other languages or callers that maybe don't speak English fluently?
And I do have that on the list of future things I'd like to do. And I always go back to the garden and the garden analogy and growing seeds and nurturing them slowly. So we have to have enough structures, but I see us as a tree branching out in different directions, and that's one of them, to grow towards the sun of just being kind to each other.
When you first had this idea, how did you, because I feel like sometimes people have these great ideas, but they immediately, after a day or a week or a month, dismiss it like, oh, it's never going to work. And when you had this idea of a kind voice, how did you think it would get started? And did you, how did you start recruiting volunteers? Was it amongst your own community of friends? Or?
I used volunteermatch.org and Craigslist, and Craigslist to recruit volunteers. And, of course, you get a lot of people who aren't serious. And But from those, there's gold. And I try to look at even the people who aren't serious. They wrote this beautiful application, and then they're not available to take a call about volunteering. They wanted to state their kindness and for somebody to be a witness to it. So there's kindness in all shapes and sizes, and each one has to be appreciated. But if you're persistent enough, you get a good group of volunteers, and it's something I truly believe is necessary. I look at the horrible mass shootings we see and see the crazy-looking people who perpetrated them and think somewhere upstream those people weren't so angry, weren't so crazy, and maybe if a kind voice was there, we can make a difference. And even if we can't, it kind of gives people a positive way to respond to all the tragedies in the news, that I could be a kind voice for you, and you could be a kind voice to me. It might not solve all the problems in the world, but it just gives us a positive way to respond to these things that leave us feeling all so helpless.
Can you talk a little bit about the Kind Voice Radio? Because I know that's, and also connected to that question, the larger vision for Kind Voice. You know, I mentioned maybe in the future having different languages that are offered, and so, you know, you're planting seeds. But what is the vision for Kind Voice, you know, moving forward, and how is the Kind Voice radio show part of that vision?
Okay, so a call in line is a static thing. People have to come to us to make the call, and we promote it through Facebook, through radio PSAs. Oprah wrote an article, the federal government wrote an article, you guys are helping us. So people find out that way, and they make the call to us. But part of the vision for Kind Voice is I listen to talk radio, and I hear a lot of the people calling in just wanted to share what's on their mind. Mm. They don't necessarily want to be on the radio. So there's an internet radio station, which I'm hoping will evolve into a syndicated broadcasting show. We're going to have one show a night. We have a Kind Voice on Books, hosted by a librarian in Atlanta named Janae. And she's an authentic Kind Voice, and she talks about her enthusiasm for books and invites callers to call in about their enthusiasm for books. So she's putting out very positive information, and she's very engaging and entertaining. And people will listen to her because it's entertaining, and they might call her during the show. But she interweaves it with the Kind Voice concept that people could call a Kind Voice anytime to share their thoughts on books. So we're doing the same thing for movies, for music, for sports, and it's all. We're not going to talk about negative sports topics, but we're going to talk about positive things going on in sports. We're doing it for news, and we're going to talk about positive news, the good things going on in the world that we want to hear about. So we have all these dynamic radio hosts. We're going to have 7 of them.
Yeah.
They're going to kind of spread their own word and promote their own shows, and in doing so, help spread the bigger mission for a Kind Voice.
Wow, that's really incredible. It's going back to, I think, the circle of sharing, you know, that we started this call with, and thinking about the quality of our connections. And also reflecting on your own childhood and adolescence growing up, what is it, what elements do you think have faded away from society, particularly in American society, that have led to so much isolation and loneliness? Is it the trust that's been lost? You know, you bring up the word positive a lot, you know, and people wanting to hear positive news and positive stories and share, you know, their inspiration and positive reflections. And so if it's trust that's been lost, is that a reflection of the media, you know, constantly pouring out like negative news? Like what elements have been slowly lost over time when you think about the time when you grew up.
And it's a complex question because the media puts out what sells. If good news sold, they put that on. So trying to point to one social pattern as the cause, I don't know that there's an answer to that. Robert Purser, who wrote Zen and the Art of Motorcycle Maintenance and is a foundation for a lot of kind boys, he divided up all of reality into different patterns. Inorganic, like a cable, biological, like man or animals, and social patterns, like an organization, a country, a community, and then intellectual patterns, like ideas. And he asked the question, what are the social patterns that man created? Man created cities, but why do cities exploit biological man for their own purposes? Why do they charge taxes? I mean, they're run by biological man, and with his ideas, his intellect, why are they so exploitive? And I think that's a big part of the issue, to create social patterns which don't exploit, like you guys do Karma Kitchen, which is such a shining and wonderful example. And Panera's does something similar with their free cafes, pay what you want cafes. So to create social patterns that don't exploit but bring out the best in people is the way I think we're going to grow out of this. All this technology where you're just text messaging people instead of calling them is very, very isolating. And we're going to grow out of it by just learning to use the technology. When the caveman first saw a fire, it took 50,000 years to learn how to cook with it. And I think all this technology has been thrust upon us, and it's just going to take a while to integrate it. But things like meetup.com uses technology to get people together in groups, playing Scrabble, if you will, and tennis, and doing positive things. So technology can be used to connect people, and certainly a kind voice is enabled by technology. We couldn't have done it without the internet.
Right. I wanted to follow up to that with another question, but also let the callers know that in a few minutes we'll open up the space for everyone to join in. I guess after my next question, if people would
like to. I'll just open. You can ask your question.
Yeah. So speaking of these social patterns and the evolution of these patterns, I feel like in certain parts of the country and maybe even in other parts of the world, there's more and more intentional communities that are forming, whether it's around meditation, community gardens, gift economies. And particularly, I've experienced this in the Bay Area where I recently moved a few months ago. And I know you've also started the community garden, which also was partly what led to a kind voice. And so, two-part question. Can you talk about the community garden that you started and just some inspirational stories that came out of that? And then also your thoughts on intentional communities. Do you see that as the new, way of living, maybe 20 years from now, more micro communities forming?
Well, thank you for giving me the chance to talk about the community garden, because I connected with the most beautiful people in the community garden, and the gardeners are just great people, and they taught me so much about seeds and nature. And the beautiful thing about the garden is we have like a sit-in area carved out of log chairs that one person made. We have a water tank that another person made with these beautiful trellises. So it's a beautiful amalgamation of so much good energy and positive energy. Everyone's positive comes to the garden because the flowers and the fruit, they're such positive things and such beautiful things. And by watering and being all part in this evolution to make these seeds grow, course, these aren't like theoretical seeds, the actual seeds, and you get to see them flower. And this little seed that you planted grew into this big sunflower seed plant the size of Frisbees, with sunflowers the size of Frisbees. And just a miracle of nature that inspires, and how nature designs things, and how smart nature is. And if we could somehow copy nature to create our own processes based off of nature, because nature really knows what it's doing. It's been around a long time.
Mm-hmm.
So it's an inspiration to me.
Mm-hmm.
And plant communities are, I think that's definitely part of the mix, that people move to a community that has things and the type of people that they want to share with. But I also think and I'm struggling for the right word, but tolerance might not be the right word, but tolerating people that are different than you, who are in your community, and embracing that you're different and being glad you're different, because you don't want to speak to clones of yourself. You want to speak to people who are different, because you're going to learn a new thing that, you know, I never thought about looking at the world that way. And me not being a lifelong gardener, just connecting with people with that interest just illuminates part of the world for me. But I always try to interact with people who are different than myself, because it's just more fun. There's more synergy. It's like a 1 + 1 = 3 kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. Have you always been that way? This eagerness to connect with people that are different?
I've always been an explorer, because the interesting thing is the thing you don't know, what you could learn next, the new thing. And a kind voice is, there's so many explorations, because new people are calling in every day. And I'm connecting with these new wonderful people, like these radio show hosts who just have said these brilliant things and want to do this great work. And I'm connecting with them, but they're also going to help build out the concept. So it makes it scalable, that it's just not one person, it's lots of people saying this idea in their own voices.
I just wanted to let the callers know that to ask the question to David, just hit *6, and you will be put in the queue. Go ahead, Kayla, if you have a question.
Yeah. I was wondering if, I know you've had so many conversations through a kind voice, and could you share one of your most inspiring or funny or, you know, conversation that really stands out? Earlier you had mentioned sports, you know, growing up in New York and connecting with people over sports. But I'd love to hear one or two stories from the conversation.
A funny conversation. It's volunteer Karen had. She's a volunteer of ours, and she had this conversation, but it was a short conversation. A guy was going crazy. He goes, "What do you call books that aren't fiction? I can't figure it out." And she goes, "Nonfiction." And he was like so excited. "Yes, that's it, nonfiction." And it made his day.
Oh wow!
And I guess a more meaningful conversation that I had is a fellow wanted to know if he should drop out of school because his parents didn't think he'd do well in his chosen career. And a lot of times students, it's hard for them to reach out to a friend or a parent, so a kind voice, a total stranger, is a great person to reach out to. So he was asking me, you know, should I drop out of school? What do you think? And I said, well, let's say you finish school and your chosen career didn't work out. How would you feel? First, how would you feel if you dropped out of school and you didn't get a chance to pursue your chosen career? So rather than give them answers, you try to help them see the alternatives and walk them through it, because they're kind of looking right at that tree, and you not being in their shoes, you could see a bigger perspective on it, and you could kind of help them navigate themselves around that tree.
Wow. You know, the more I'm listening to you, I'm just like thinking about what a beautiful gift you're offering to society, because I guess you know, back in the day, maybe it would have seemed strange to talk about your problems to a complete stranger. But in a way, we sort of did that in different ways, whether it was through a psychologist, someone that we don't really know, but, you know, that's not connected to us personally, or, you know, confiding to a priest, or, you know, that person in your community that you could confide in and go to that wasn't immediately related to you. And now, as society is evolving and social patterns are changing, I guess ways of connecting, like the forest calls and a kind spring, are like the new human connection. It's just really beautiful. I'm just really inspired that you have this idea and that you're able to, you know, make it a reality and create such a giving and receiving space for people.
Well, thank you. And, you know, I have the idea, but so many other people help and make it a reality. So it's a beautiful thing to be a part of.
Thank you. Thank you, David. A question came up for me when I was listening to this, and it's related to something we touched upon in the circle of sharing as well. Like, how do you improve the quality rather than the quantity? And I was thinking on your calls, when people call you, can I say I call you? I believe that the quality or the depth improves only by repeated connection with the same person, and not by just like having a conversation in a bar or somewhere and meet. And I feel like how do you achieve that if I'm trying to call you and I talk to you for, say, about books? And how do you decide, okay, this is the boundary that, okay, we're only going to talk about books and nothing else? And then again, the part two of the question is, when I call the next time, I would not feel connected unless I'm talking to the same person, I think. Because if I'm talking to different people, it's again these short Facebook-like conversations which are maybe don't have much depth. Or I don't know if it makes sense, but...
It does.
Yeah.
So part of the training is we look for jumping off points. So that person's making the call. We want to interview them about the thing on their mind. So they start off about talking about books, and they jump to a movie, jump to sports, jump to whatever they want to jump to. We're still the interview of fleshing out what's on their mind. They're not locked in to calling on any particular subject. And we try to have as engaging a conversation as possible, knowing that it's what I call a finite game. It's going to end. But if you're having a great conversation with me, and, for example, I had a great conversation right before I got on your call with a lady on philosophy, and she was enjoying it so much she wanted to pull back but talk to me. So I gave her my extension, and all the volunteers have extensions, and they could give out their extension until their hours. That way, that caller could call in to speak to a specific volunteer again and kind of continue the conversation if they want to do it.
Okay. That makes sense. Thank you.
Gayatri? Hi, everybody. Hi, this is Gayatri here. Good morning, and David, thank you so much for bringing a kind voice into existence. My question today to you was, if you've been talking about isolation and versus connection, so the question that came up to me was, do you see the difference? I mean, would love to hear from you about you know, like the difference. What about the difference between isolation that happens because of technology versus isolation that happens because of lack of connection with oneself? Is there any connection between that, or is there any difference?
And I think isolation, of course, one's not connected with themselves. And what are the patterns they believe in, like gardens or sports? causes isolation, and that's been around forever. But I think technology puts it on steroids. There's just so much data and emails and Facebook posts coming at us that if we have this isolation, it kind of makes it grow in all sorts of directions, and you can't get traction in any one thing as easily as before we had this technology.
So it, you're just saying it accentuates it further?
I think it can accentuate it further, but lots of people meet their spouses online, so it also makes connections. It kind of does both.
Thank you.
So I have one more question, David. It's kind of it's similar to, so the reason I feel that people are not connected, I grew up in India and the culture is different compared to the U.S. and the idea of space and privacy and what you can share and what you, you know, it's very different. And I'm thinking one of the reasons people don't share or are not communicating so much with neighbors and stuff, there's two reasons. One is that, you know, you don't really need those connections in this culture, you know. Even without having, without knowing my neighbor, I can very well function because all the systems and infrastructure is in place to support me if I have an emergency. But in cultures and countries like India, you actually need these connections. You need people around you because things are not really otherwise functioning that smoothly, and so you have to rely on relationships. So that's one reason I feel that the connections here are kind of, I feel the difference between the depth and the quality of connections. So thinking, coming from that mindset, wouldn't that also, I'm thinking, wouldn't that also make people feel a little reserved to pick up the phone and call a random helpline? And wouldn't that also, like, I cannot imagine, like, telling, suppose my husband Peter, his family, his grandma or someone, I can't imagine telling her to call this line and talk. She would feel that it somehow speaks not very well of her, that she needs to call this line and doesn't have enough connections in her family or something like that. So I was just wondering, how do people break those barriers and be more open to call?
I think the biggest thing is making it sound fun, and that's really what the radio shows do. This, the lady on books and the lady's going to do big ideas and the guy who's going to do sports, all fun people and the interesting people. So they're having this conversation on the radio, and people are going to want to join the fun. So it's not charity, or you need somebody to talk to and you're in this bad position. We want this to be a fun conversation that people want to join in the fun and state what's on their mind, connect their own thoughts with this pattern we're developing on the Scrabble board to make it enjoyable for them. And that's the key that's going to make a kind voice grow to its potential.
And separated from like a helpline, right? Because
So we have different kinds of customers. Some people want to have a personal situation going on, and they want to talk about that. And we're a kind voice, and we're there for them. Other people just want to talk about the book or sports or the movie. So I almost view them as different kinds of customers with different kinds of needs, and that's why we have different kinds of PSAs, different kinds of advertising to try to connect with those different people, because we want to be a kind voice to as many people as possible.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Okay, and to get back to an earlier question about writings that motivated me, Thoreau speaks very eloquently about you can't waste time without injuring eternity, that each moment of time is kind of like a building block to something better if you use it properly. And I kind of view each kind intention, each kindness in people's heart as a potential building block, and if you could connect them with those who need a kind voice, then you could build something, you can make something in the moment. And he talked about if you build castles in the air, your work need not be lost. All you need to do is put foundations under them now. And I kind of view each call, each radio program we do as a foundation that we're putting under a kind voice to help to continue to reach out to connect with others.
Really beautiful. I'm also thinking about the different ways that all of us as a community are creating, I guess, creating spaces to move from isolation to community. And I think earlier you had mentioned Karma Kitchen, you know, and it's a space where we actually see one another and where strangers come together face to face to share a beautiful experience over food. And, you know, these forest calls, we played with the idea of having them be video calls so that we could actually, you know, see one another or at least maybe see the guest speaker. And we've talked about how that changes, how that will change the dynamic of the call, you know, when you're able to see the person's expressions as they're reflecting and thinking about questions and carrying on the conversation. And so I was curious about how a kind voice would be different, you know, if it was through a video call, and what your thoughts are on that. Perhaps that would take away, obviously, from the anonymous nature of it. And maybe the anonymous nature is what encourages people to trust more over time. Or do you think that being able to see one another would create a deeper connection?
It's so hard to tell. And I think for some people it would. And I think if the technology was there and available, we could offer that as an option. That do you want a video call? And then connect them with volunteers who want a video call. And for some that would make that a better experience. So Kind Voice is kind of about enabling the connections that those looking for a kind voice want to see. And if seeing someone on the screen helps with that connection, then I think it can be beneficial.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think Bill is back. Is that you, Bill?
Yes, I'm here. Can you finally hear me?
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, good. Yeah. Yeah, I've been sort of dropping in and out. Sorry if you've answered this already.
Can you finally hear me?
Okay, I'm curious for your volunteer phone calls, if any sort of screening or training is used. I mean, do you accept anybody who wants to volunteer, or do you kind of check with people whether they're able to give the proper kind of support?
Well,
do they receive any sort of training?
We absolutely check them out. So we have a whole training document on how to handle a call. That we train the people on how to do it, but then before they take a call, they speak with a volunteer. So they like host the call as if they were a volunteer, but they're speaking with another volunteer. So the only issues we've had is sometimes people like telling their own stories too much, and we just explain to them, give them a little coaching on how to do that to better connect with the caller.
Good.
So, yeah, so they have to kind of conduct a good call before we give them regular hours.
Are the volunteers just on call all the time, or you know certain the hours that they agreed to volunteer and you connect callers to those volunteers, you know, at the times when they're on call?
Exactly. So when they're on call, the phone rings in their house. So if they're on call from 8 in the morning to 4 in the afternoon, if the phone rings at 4:05, it will not ring in their house. And then when they get the call, they're given the option to accept it or decline it. So we really don't want people in the middle of cooking or taking care of a baby take a kind voice call.
Point.
I was wondering, David, how this whole experience of starting the Kind Voice and connecting with so many people, how has it changed you or transformed you internally? What do you see happening inside you?
I'm certainly a better conversationalist, because as with all of us, we connect with people, like-minded people, and with people with the same kind of energy as us, we connect better with them. But I get calls from people of all walks of life. So I really learned to slow down a little bit and engage them and hear what they have to share first before I tell them about a kind voice. So just slowing down and being able to connect with strangers on the phone who want to volunteer to find out what brings them to a kind voice and let them share the kindness in their own heart and make that connection slowly. Going back to the garden, if things grow quickly, they die, but that grows slowly kind of lasts. So I not only have the one conversation with them, but after they sign on, I call them fairly regularly to build a relationship, because it's important that we all could talk and everyone's enjoying the program. Mm.
That's beautiful.
So I was a quiet person myself, and it's forcing me to be a little less quiet and just connect better.
Yeah. And maybe you mentioned this before, but did you say that, I'm just thinking that in order for the volunteers feel connected amongst themselves and feel part of the community so that it ripples out as kindness outside. You said you have some kind of system for volunteers to call each other. Did you say that? Or what are the things that you're doing to help them connect and form deeper relationships like we do here at Forest Call and stuff like that?
And it's not really systematized. It's more ingrained into the culture, at least the culture we're trying to build, that there's not one group of people who need a kind voice and one group who are kind voices. We want our volunteers calling the line and connecting with the other volunteers and having good conversations. So we're trying to build this network of kindness, and it comes in all shapes and sizes. So we don't track who calls and how often, so we don't ask people to call once a week, anything like that. And it's just what comes naturally.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. This is wonderful. As Bela said, she's going to call. I'm going to call too. So,
good.
I was wondering what we as a community can do to support this work that you're doing.
Certainly, this call is a big help to be able to share with lots of people, and you know, share in this call. But just to let people know what we're doing. If there's any video makers out there who want to help us make videos, any social media experts out there who want to help us get the word out through social media. Of course, the more people who know what's there, it's going to kind of hit a critical mass. Ultimate dream is for there to be a kind voice anywhere when it's needed, anytime, and everybody will know about it. And that's kind of like a one act at a time thing. So anyone who shares this conversation via social media or a website or any of our songs or listens to our radio shows and participates in them, we'll be contributing to creating this web of kind voices that hopefully one day we'll be there for everybody.
Beautiful. We'll definitely be sharing the recording and write a blog about this conversation and spread the word, and definitely want
Thank
to
you.
Spread the goodness and kindness. I just noticed there's one more person who has a question.
Hi, David. Thank you very much for being there and getting this whole thing onto this planet or into time.
Thank you.
A curiosity question, just based on what you were just kind of saying right now, in terms of the number of callers, that kind of, can you share any kind of statistics as to how your current operation is?
How many calls we get?
How many calls you folks get, or how many volunteers you have, and what's the geographic spread, stuff like that?
So we have about 20 volunteers. And overall, we've had a lot of volunteers. I think we've touched close to 40 states now with people who have contributed in some way, artwork, music, taking calls. And we get between 8 and 12 calls a day, and half of them go to the crisis hotline. And the numbers are trending upward every month, but it's not like every day they're trending upward. So as time goes by, as we get articles on like Oprah's site, and the more people who have a good experience with us tell others. So they're trending upward, but it's almost good because we got to start off slow to be able to learn how to handle this disorder. Mm-hmm. We really started publicizing it in January.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. I wanted to thank you so much on behalf of Service Space and the community on this call for sharing about A Kind Voice, sharing your experiences, but also for being who you are and planting these seeds. It's really beautiful what you're doing and where the direction that A Kind Voice is moving in. And it's just, I'm really looking forward to calling in and hopefully having a conversation with you. So,
and thank you so much. I really enjoyed speaking with all of you guys, and it's awesome that you guys have this platform in place.
Yeah, it's really wonderful. As Kunshan said, we are definitely going to have a blog about this call, and a lot of people from around the world read that blog, so more people will learn about the radio show and the call voice. So with that, Kunshan?
Great.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone. And